Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Pharmaceutical Commerce Podcast. I'm Nico Saraceno, Associate Editor of PC, and I'm here with Mike Christel, PharmCom's Editorial Director. We are pleased to be joined today by Chris DiCostanzo, VP of Patient Engagement Solutions at OptimizeRx, a digital health company that works to help patients better afford and adhere to their treatment regimens. For the 3 years he's been with the company, Chris has used his patient engagement knowledge and consumer health marketing experience, including some previously acquired with J&J, to provide a look into what it is like working with pharma brands, especially when it comes to humanizing the messages that they are delivering to patients. Chris, thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, guys. Really looking forward to having some time to talk to you today. Really appreciate it.
So what problems or challenges are encountered most today by life science companies when it comes to patient engagements? And by extension, the patient experience at the point of care?
You know, that's a great question. It's funny because when people ask me that, I say, you know, the challenge really hasn't changed a whole lot since I started working in this space. And actually, I've been working in this space for 5 years now because, when I first joined a company called CareSpeak Communications, which OptimizeRx acquired, we were essentially a pure adherence play. We were basically doing adherence messaging for pharmaceutical companies. And the challenges that we face there are the same as they are today, which is that, first of all, trying to access patients right from the get-go when they're first getting on therapy is extremely difficult for pharmaceutical companies. You know, I mean, if you think about it, what reason does a patient have, or at least what reason do they think they have to interact with a pharmaceutical company who's sponsoring a patient support program? Patients aren't really thinking about that. But yet many, almost all pharmaceutical companies have some sort of patient support that's available. We think about financial first and foremost, but it's also, they also have great programs available to help patients get used to therapy and stay on therapy. And so the real challenge in the beginning is accessing patients. And that's one of the challenges that we've been working on here at OPRX to try and solve for some time now.
So it's interesting because you did obviously reference adherence and support and helping patients along their journey. So how far along that patient journey process does that support actually continue for? Do you see that process entirely through, or how do you guys play that angle exactly?
We are always advising our clients to support patients for as long as they want to be supported. And for some people, that can be years. I mean, some patients become very interested in continuing to get, I mean, we primarily use SMS text message reminders in many of our programs, and we'll have medication reminders that are set up for patients. And it sort of becomes their alarm for when to take their medication. And so we've had some clients that might run their program down in a couple of years, and they'll have patients actually reach back to them and go, no, you can't turn this off. You know, I rely on this to take my medication. But we'll usually work with our clients to figure out what the most important period is of intervention. For many of our clients, we're primarily doing a few things. One, getting them used to starting to take a new therapy. So maybe it's a new medication regimen or some sort of change they need to make to become acclimated to the medicine. Maybe they have to titrate at some point in the future. For others, we're trying to get patients over side effect issues. So if you think about oncology, for example, those medications very often come with significant side effects. And if you don't set the proper expectations and give patients the tools and arm them with things to help them mitigate those side effects, or at least get through the period where they're most severe, that's where you get the largest patient drop-off. So we might focus on that period for those particular drugs. And in other cases, you might have a specific period of time that the patient needs to be on therapy. So take hepatitis, for example, that might be a 12, 18, 24 week regimen. So we build a program specifically around that. And we'll even put messages in for the patients to tell them how long they've been in and how long they have to go. So it really depends on the therapy regimen and what the particular business situation is that we've been asked to solve by our clients.
And you mentioned hepatitis, for example. If it's that long of a regimen, are those SMS messages is there a way to pre-schedule them along the journey? Or are you guys setting reminders along the way? Is there technology in that aspect for it to be?
Yeah, so all of the programs that we do, obviously we're dealing with pharmaceutical, right? So it's really considered marketing by legal, medical, and regulatory with inside pharmaceutical companies. So while there is a lot of logic built into our programs, every single message that's going to touch the patient needs to go through an approval process. So yeah, there is what, I mean, and that's basically what we do. We'll work with the pharmaceutical company, look at all of the materials that they've created to touch patients and HCPs, et cetera. And we'll work with them and their patient marketing agency of record to basically develop a patient-centric journey that goes through time. So to your point, if it needs to be 2 years, well, what does that need to look like? Over that period of time, some of the messaging will probably get reused because you're giving it to patients once early on. They'll need to be reminded in it, you know, a few months later and a few months later. So we'll build that out over the desired period of time and then work with their legal, medical, and regulatory teams to get all of that messaging approved and programmed onto our platform to be delivered exactly how it's described. So yeah, we're very often bringing back some messaging over time to just remind patients about the hints, tips, and smart advice we may have given them early on. It's still good to remember that month 6, month 9, month 12.
What factors do you attribute this, you know, the increased traction of, you know, disease awareness, education, and even new approaches to communications in the specialty areas like oncology and immunology and stuff like that? Any particular trends you see there?
Well, so, I mean, obviously with those drugs, they tend to be the most complex. They also tend to come with the most side effects. And so these programs are crucially important for those particular drugs. There's a lot of stuff that's going on there. Hub services sometimes get involved with those groups. We've done some very interesting programs, one in particular in oncology. We had an adjuvant breast cancer therapy that we were supporting. And that particular client was finding that patients had even more questions than we were answering with our run-of-the-mill messaging. And so we actually partnered with a nurse group to essentially offer up a day where we would let patients interact directly with a nurse via the SMS channel and get their other questions answered. And it was amazing because we had about 34% of the patients who were invited to participate would ask a question during the open session where they could access a nurse. And it really increased the overall satisfaction level of the program. And we found that, you know, most patients after having done that would recommend this program. Actually, 90% of them would recommend the program to other patients on therapy. So there's a lot of innovation going on in this space. The more touch points we allow patients to get the information they need, the more educated they're going to be. And this also helps doctors, right? Because that's a question that would be going back into their office for the, you know, someone would be calling their nurse practitioner or their office. And here we were able to help support them in a different way.
Maybe sort of generally, how do you think health information technology partnerships and some networks out there, how do you think they're working together to feed into this whole point of care, you know, these stepped up efforts in point of care?
Well, so I can give you an example of where we are trying to essentially get patients into our communication channels by using other activity that's going on in the space. So for example, one of the ways I talked earlier on about the biggest problem that we have, which is getting patients into these programs and communicating with them. So what we've done pretty successfully recently is we've actually tied financial incentives from copay cards into a registration, into a full patient support program. So the number one reason that patients tend to interact with the pharmaceutical company after getting a medication is in an attempt to register for a copay offer, try to access savings to help them pay for that prescription. And so we worked with one of our clients to do a completely digital copay offer where the patient actually had to either register online or text a keyword to a phone number, which was what OptimizeRx supported, to register for the copay offer. And during that process, we would say, hey, not only can we give you financial savings, but we can also support you with med reminders and other hints, tips, and smart advice around getting used to taking this new therapy. And this particular drug had a completely new regimen in terms of how the patient had to take it. They couldn't eat at all before they took it, and then needed to wait 30 minutes after they took it before they ate and needed to get into that habit. And so this turned out to be a hugely successful way of getting patients registered. In fact, in a year and a half, we've had over 100,000 patient registrations. We've got, I think, over 40,000 active patients now using this mechanism. So that's a way of sort of like putting two sources of information together. You've got patients who are trying to get in to get copay savings and then moving them over into the patient support program.
I guess it's somewhat related, but this whole area of real world evidence, real world data is taking off, and not just the clinical setting, but also to kind of help with healthcare decision making. What about your company's use of RWE and, you know, getting access to electronic health records and other data? How is that kind of helping HCPs maybe identify patients in certain unique circumstances and who need to get on a therapy critically or maybe just targeting, you know, how are you using that data to help target therapy for patients?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, the neat thing about working at OptimizeRx is we are always trying to do new things with the access, you know, that we have through the point of care with the EHR to doctors, and then the access that we have to patients. And then adding on data partnerships just makes that all the more powerful. And there's some new and very interesting things going on in the area of real world data and AI that really position us to uniquely help our clients solve problems that they might otherwise not be able to solve. I mean, essentially, and you started to talk about it in the question, we can help our partners essentially try and reach the ideal patients and ideal encounters that are happening in real time. So there's a lot of folks out there who are using big data and predictive analytics to identify doctors and be able to figure out who they want to talk to. The unique point of difference for us at OptimizeRx is we then take that information and use our point of care access to try to predict when an actual relevant encounter is going to happen so that we can message a doctor in and around the time that that encounter might happen, making that message as relevant as it possibly can be. So actually, I can give you a great example. I just spent some time with one of our partners learning about a project we're doing to help one of our clients overcome the donut hole with their patients. So they're losing a lot of their patients who are ending up in the donut hole. Now they have a great program that's available to help patients get through that period, but awareness of it is low. And so we would use our access to data to essentially try to figure out how to predict when patients might be getting ready to go into that hole. And then we would then look and find doctors who may be interacting with those patients. And when we see those in workflow, we're able to essentially message doctors who are most likely to see patients on that drug about to hit the donut hole and say, hey, make sure that you let the patient know about this program so that they can continue to take the therapy that you're prescribing through the donut hole period. And so you can imagine being able to find those patients before that actually happens and message their HCPs that this is forthcoming is just tremendous. And so instead of telling everybody about the program, you're focusing your marketing dollars on telling the most relevant doctors who are going to be seeing these patients that they have this real world problem in front of them and need to take some action. So it's that kind of stuff that really has us excited about the future, you know, of this technology and how it can be used.
In your dealings with clients, do you kind of present it that way, that it could be a cost-effective solution into engagement or?
Well, in this particular, I mean, if you think about it, they're getting two things, right? So one is, well, they have a problem that they have to solve, and we're helping them hone their money into the most targeted place to solve the particular issue. And the result actually ends up being increasing revenue because those are fills that they miss out on, right? Patient doesn't have the insurance to cover it, either switches out, doesn't take anything at all. So you get the added benefit of the pharmaceutical company continuing to get people on, having people on prescriptions, but then you get the outcomes hit of having patients stay on therapy and continue their treatment. So we're really looking forward to seeing how these programs work out in the future and at wider scale.
Yeah, Kristen, you mentioned how you're able to target these physicians, and I know prior on our pre-call, you had mentioned these hyper-targeting programs and how OptimizeRx utilizes a specific set of algorithms to be able to successfully do that. Is there anything else you could kind of say that goes into that process?
Yeah, I mean, that one's sort of straightforward, right? We sort of know exactly what we're looking for there. I think it's harder, and this is where the real work comes in, where we partner with our clients and their clinical teams to figure out what are the markers in the claims data that need to be looked for. For instance, if we're trying to find hard to diagnose patients in a particular area, we're going to have to work with our pharmaceutical partners to help figure out exactly how to create that algorithm that's going to be most effective at predicting when a doctor may have an encounter with a patient who's presenting with this claims data, these conditions, these past prescriptions, for example, whatever that might be, to create that algorithm that you've discussed. And I'm not the AI guy, so I could tell you that's, I don't know exactly how the sausage is made, but every time I hear it discussed, I get it, which is if you know what you're looking for, you put the power of the data into that algorithm and then apply that algorithm to the point of care where you're seeing a real patient profile and understanding that this might be someone who fits that criteria and being able to message doctors can be hugely impactful.
How are you able to humanize the messages that pharma brands deliver to their patients?
Whether that's in the HCP or with our patient programs, the messaging itself, I think sometimes everybody forgets that's a super important component of this. And, you know, so coming from my marketing background, and one of the reasons I was so excited to join OPRX in the first place is just being able to speak to patients in an ongoing fashion, as opposed to just sort of the one-off marketing that occurs in the space, was exciting to me because the whole goal for everyone in this space is to make human connections and help people change behaviors so that we can improve health outcomes. And so in messaging, it's super important to do a few things, you know, personalize those messages, make them relevant. So you've talked about using real world data to try and make those messages as relevant as they possibly can be to HCPs at the time. Well, on the patient engagement side, which is more of my focus, that's even more important. So we always, first thing we do is try to understand what the patient journey is so that we can try and time messages. So, you know, side effects are going to happen on day 12. We start messaging those on day 10, very sympathetic, empathetic tone with patients about what's going to happen, helping them understand that they may experience that side effect, giving them some mitigation cues and help to do that. That adds a tremendous amount of value to a patient who then appreciates the sponsor company even more for having gone through that process with them and given them that important information at the right time. The other thing I spend a lot of time working on is trying to encourage patients to talk to doctors, which you think is a simple thing, but there are a lot of people who aren't really comfortable having that conversation. And so some of our tips and smart advice centers around that. I mean, one of my favorite messages we ever wrote was one that basically said, hey, if you're struggling to take your medication, make sure that you tell your doctor that you haven't been as adherent as you should be, because your lack of progress may make him think he needs to switch you to a new medicine. Whereas in fact, it's the fact that you really haven't been taking it that much. That idea of sort of forging openness between patient and doctor by sort of nudging them in that direction, we've seen have some powerful results. So for me, that's where I've sort of brought my marketing background to play in this role, is really helping us forge that kind of messaging to patients and also, you know, to HCPs.
Yeah. How do you approach that, like encouraging patients to be more open with doctors? How do you kind of approach that in the messaging? Is there a special sort of tone you take? Or,
well, certainly tone matters, but it's really, a lot of it's common sense when people think about it. So it's really just sort of gentle nudging and reminders. You don't ever beat people over the head with this stuff, right? And I mean, our messages are short, so we really don't get an opportunity to do that anyway. But it's those little reminders. The thing about, you know, you have a doctor's visit coming up, sort of know what, if we know a patient seeing a doctor every 3 months on this particular therapy, we'll actually time messages in advance of when they're likely to see the doctor. And we'll say, hey, we know you might have a doctor visit coming up. Make sure you're open about your side effects. Your doctor wants to hear if you're struggling with something. Make sure it's that kind of stuff, you know, almost the way a friend would talk to you. Mm-hmm. It's never the way a pharmaceutical company would. You know, you'd think of a pharmaceutical talking to you, company talk to you, I should say. It's trying to set that tone where it's a friend, a caregiver, a nurse who's delivering you sort of comforting, supporting messaging that encourages you to make those behavior changes. And there are a lot of chronic diseases that we deal with where it isn't just about the drugs. You might take diabetes. The drugs are going to help. But if you don't make those other lifestyle changes, eat better, exercise, do those other things, you're only going to get so far. And it's trying to help patients understand that along their journey. That is a lot of what we do beyond just medication reminders.
Well, Chris, we really do appreciate you taking the time to come on the show today. It'll be very interesting to see the developments and the progress that the field of patient support and patient adherence kind of makes these next few years. I know you'll be in tune
perhaps we can check in with you at that at some point to see how that kind of progresses, and we'll kind of take it from there. So we really do thank you for coming on. It's been a real pleasure.
Yeah, I'd love to. Appreciate it, and really enjoyed talking to both of you. So thank you guys very much.
Sure.
Absolutely. And for all you listeners, be sure to stay in the loop of our latest updates via our website at pharmaceuticalcommerce.com or on our SoundCloud page. Take care, everyone.